Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, again, we thank you for another awesome day, a day of victory, a day of prosperity, a day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear so that we can continue to grow from faith to faith. We remind Satan right now that he is defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in these proceedings. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. All right, listeners, we are continuing with our teaching entitled Redeemed in Jesus, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week, we began part three of this teaching, which is Redemption Under the New Testament, and completed Redemption Benefit Number One with regards to redemption. As I have stated each week, this teaching on redemption consists of three parts, which includes part one, God's original intent for mankind, which we completed several weeks ago, part two, atonement under the Old Testament, which we have finished, and then part three, redemption under the New Testament, which we are currently examining. Each part of this teaching is necessary to understand and appreciate Jesus' redemptive work and our better position in Him as sons of God. Therefore, if you have missed any of the weekly teachings, please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We do welcome them all. Today, we will start on redemption benefit number two. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible unless otherwise stated. Redemption benefit number two. We have been delivered from the power and dominion of Satan and his darkness. The Word of God tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, the following. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. I would like to expound on this passage by quoting additional scriptures that highlight verses 13 and 14. So let's start with verse 13. I'm going to read it again from Colossians, and then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Verse 13 of Colossians says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, the scriptures tell us this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Again, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our might, but the might of our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Again, family, we are not fighting against each other, flesh and blood, but we have an adversary, Satan, and he comes against us through man. But our focus is to come against that evil demonic spirit, Satan, to keep him under our feet. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, this stand means to overcome. So if we keep the armor of God on at all times, in other words, it's a lifestyle for us, then we will be able to stand against or resist Satan, his demonic forces, and evil assignments. And when we do so, we will be left standing, or those overcomers that God created us to be. And in Jesus, it says that we are more than overcomers. Amen. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to read two verses, verses 24 and 25. We are going to be highlighting from verse 14 that we read under Colossians. I'm going to read verse 14 from Colossians before we read together Romans. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, or the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, the scriptures say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a mercy seat by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, I want to highlight a couple of words, because in our church settings, we're familiar with hearing the word justified, righteousness, and so forth. But for the listener on the radio, they may not be so familiar. So on verse 24 of this Romans chapter 3, it says being justified. Now, this word justified means really being declared righteous freely by his, that's talking about God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So one of the many benefits that we receive by the gift of salvation is that Jesus, because of the work that he completed, we are declared righteous before our Heavenly Father. So there's nothing that we need to do other than to receive the gift of salvation. There's no amount of money that we can pay in order to purchase this righteousness. But righteousness is a gift or a benefit under the gift of salvation. Amen. All right, let's continue. When Jesus was crucified on the cross and physically died, he entered into hell to take the keys of death from Satan. Death no longer has authority over Jesus or God's children, and that is in reference to us Christians. So I want to give you some scripture and verse, because we're talking about redemption benefit number two, that we have been moved out of darkness into God's precious light. So I want to give you some additional scriptures that deal with the authority that we have over death. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus is speaking, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So in the book of Revelation, we know that this is regarding end times, the book of eschatology. And what Jesus is speaking here is the work that he completed after he died on that cross and entered into Hades or hell to take the keys of death away from Satan. So he is stating in this scripture that he, and I'm going to read it one more time because it is one powerful scripture. It says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So this is the kind of authority that Jesus has, and as a result of us accepting the gift of salvation, that's the kind of authority we have. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Again, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And the last scripture that I want to read regarding death no longer has authority is in the book of Psalm 68, verse 20. Let's read together. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Amen. So family, when we come to Jesus, receive him as Savior and Lord, all that Jesus completed through his life, death, and resurrection, he has empowered us. He has given us that equipment, that armor, to do the work, to actually complete the work that he started in this earth realm. So we are somebody in Jesus. We have authority, power, and dominion over Satan, his demonic forces, his evil assignment, and death itself. So let's continue. It says, the victory Jesus won over Satan gave us the ability and authority to keep Satan under our feet. We're talking about the authority that Jesus has given us as a result of us Christians receiving the gift of salvation. So let's continue in the book of Psalm. Let's go to chapter 8, one verse, verse 6. Psalm 8, 6 says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Amen. Now we know that Jesus is the head of the church. And all of us who have received Christ as Savior and Lord are the body of Jesus, the head of the church. So whatever the head has, the rest of the body has. And that's exactly what Jesus intended when he completed his work. He wants us to operate in that same authority, power, and dominion that he gave his life and precious blood for, because he loved us. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27. This time I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27. It says, for the rule and authority over all things has been given to Christ by his Father. Except, of course, Christ does not rule over the Father himself, who gave him this power to rule. Now, the important part is that first part of verse 27, where Jesus has been given the power over all things. That same authority is what he has given all of us in Christ. For the rule and authority over all things has been given to Christ by his Father. So God wants us, our Heavenly Father wants us to live in victory in this earth realm. He is a good father, and any good father would want the very best for their children. In fact, we want our children to excel, to outdo us in whatever area that we have ventured in, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whatever it is, in school, we want our children to excel what we completed. So that's the same thing that our Heavenly Father wants us to do. He wants us to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, and He has empowered us to be so through Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, and our Lord. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 22 and 23. We're still talking about the ability and authority to keep Satan under our feet. He has no power over Christians. He is defeated and under our feet. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, 23, it says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church," verse 23, "which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And again, I say it, whatever the head has, all the wonderful power, dominion, and authority that God has given Jesus Christ, the head of the church, it also belongs to the body. And that's you and I in Jesus. Amen. Christians, we have the right to use the name of Jesus and transact on his behalf here in the earth realm. And the same power that Jesus used over Satan and his demonic forces is the same power we have to keep Satan out of our lives. In fact, this is the definition of redemption that I gave you at the beginning of this part of the teaching. Remember, purchasing a slave in sin with a view to his freedom to live in victory. That's the definition of redemption for every Christian. We are free from the bondage of Satan if we choose to exercise our authority over Satan in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. I would like us to close out this benefit of redemption with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "But of him," referring to God, "you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." So all that Jesus completed gave him the wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption for each believer. Not that Jesus needed it, but he paid the cost so that we could have it. Remember, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they are three in one. All of them are part of the deity of our living God. But because we fell short, I'm talking about mankind, Jesus came into this earth realm to reunite us with our Heavenly Father and then to provide the ability for us to be part of God's family. So righteousness, again, means declared upright before God. Sanctification, growing in holiness, and redemption, deliverance by sacrifice. And that's what Jesus did. He delivered us with his very own life. And we know that that was a perfect, sinless life in every way. And so we just thank Jesus for all that he has completed for us. And then the way we honor what he has done is by accepting the gift of salvation and then living in accordance with the word of God. Amen. All right, so that covers redemption benefit number two. Let's go on to redemption benefit number three. This is all under part three, redemption under the New Testament. Redemption benefit number three, we are heirs of the kingdom of God in this earth realm. We are not waiting to go to heaven to receive our inheritance in Jesus. Our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy our blood-bought inheritance here on the earth realm. I want to repeat that second statement because I have heard too many Christians in the pulpit talking about our blessings, God's love and compassion is going to be in heaven. And although we are going to have a wonderful time in heaven, no doubt, it's going to be perfect. God wants us to have our inheritance right now in this earth realm. He does not want us to be lacking in any area. He wants us to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body on this earth realm because he created this earth realm for us. So again, we are not waiting to go to heaven to receive our inheritance in Jesus. We want to utilize God's word by faith, accept the promises he has given us, and activate them through our lives right here in this earth realm. All right. When one speaks of being an heir, we immediately think of financial inheritance that will bring us riches, in short, money. And although our inheritance in Jesus does include wealth and riches, it goes beyond just the material goods. Redemption in Jesus covers every aspect of our lives. Let's turn to 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. It says it like this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Listen, family. God is a God of abundance. In fact, in John 10:10, Jesus said that the reason he came was so that we could live in a life of abundance. So if you are missing in any area of your life, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's a mind issue, whether it's a relationship with family members or anything else, then we are not utilizing the promises that God has given us in his word. I want to read 3 John 2 one more time. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, not some things, not just the hard things, not just the spiritual things, not just the natural things, but he wants us to prosper in all things and be in health, just as our soul prospers. So we need to make sure that we start renewing our mind with the Word of God with regards to prosperity and living out our inheritance in this earth realm. The days of being beat down, broke down should be dead for every Christian because God's intent has always been that his children would be abundantly supplied in every area of their life. Remember that first part that we went through, which was part one, God's original intent for man. We made a perfect case based on scripture that God's intent was always that man be operating in this earth realm just like him. In fact, we were created in his image. So God's not about poverty, sickness, death, or anything else that is contrary to a prosperous life. So let's get in order, family. Let's find out what the Word of God says. Let's utilize his word to live out those lives of victory. All right, one more scripture with regards to prosper in all things. Let's go to the book of Psalm, chapter 1. One verse, verse 3. It says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I want to key in on that last portion of that verse. Now, keep in mind, family, that we need to, first of all, receive the gift of salvation, and then, number two, be obedient to God's word. So if we line our lives up with the word of God, this is what we can expect. And I mean materialize in your individual life. So it says, whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. So it's not just prosper spiritually, but it also means prosper materially. In fact, I want to point out the obvious, and that is that the book of Psalm was written under the Old Testament. So they didn't have a spiritual connection to God with regards to the Messiah. They were living as servants of God, and yet God told them that if they were obedient to the law, that whatever they did would prosper. So now we are under the new covenant with better promises completed with the perfect Lamb of God. So if the Old Testament saints could expect to prosper in all things, how much more would God want for his blood-bought, blood-redeemed children under the gift of salvation, Jesus the Christ? So this just lets you know, 3 John 2, Psalm 1:3, that God wants us to prosper in all things. All right. The gift of salvation through Jesus' redemptive work provides us victory and prosperity in every area of our lives. Health, soundness of mind, the release from poverty, fear of death, and much more. As Christians, we are not waiting for Jesus to give us the victory. We already have the victory because of the work he completed on the cross. Today, Jesus, our high priest, sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, interceding on our behalf as we speak his living words over our circumstances and bring to manifestation the blessings of God in our lives. Now, in case you're not familiar as to where this living word is, it's in the scriptures.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.